Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Welcome to the call, Cindy.
Thank you.
I guess we're live on the radio.
We're live on the radio. Hi. That's the first thing everyone heard. This is Cindy from Peoria, Illinois. And
I know. That's what everyone assumes right away. That's why I always say Arizona.
Peoria, Illinois. You know, years ago, I worked at a TV station, and there was a guy that worked there from Peoria, Illinois, and I'll never forget this. His name was Louie, and he was the Peoria tube tapper.
Oh, really?
Those were the days when they had more tubes than transistors. Then they had more transistors, and then they had more integrated circuits, you know? When I went to college, I used to work at TV stations in the summer in Philadelphia. So,
how's the recorder win?
Terry, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Notice how good Terry is getting unmuted quickly.
I wasn't muted.
You weren't muted?
No.
That explains it.
I thought you were going to continue with your story.
Well, that was it.
That was it.
I could tell all kinds of stories about my...
I was waiting for the big grand finale or something there.
Well, I'll tell one of my little stories from Philadelphia in a moment. Maybe should I put that on... Everyone's listening to a BBS radio, so those of you that are on BBS, if you're tuning in... Tuning in for the first time, this is a simulcast with a conference call and an internet broadcast. And
you want to start your own recording?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I should start the recording. Thank you. Now,
please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Oh, wrong pin.
Please wait.
You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
Now, those of you that heard that, just pay no attention.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everybody. This is Monday, May 9th. My name is Winfrey with my co-host, Terry Brown, and we're doing a simulcast today, and it's a simulcast between BBS Radio and our telephone conference line, and we have a bunch of people on the conference line. The advantage of being on the conference line is sometimes you get a chance to ask questions. Sometimes the energy... Do some of you experience the energy being stronger on the conference line than over the internet?
I think you're able to interact more and you have more personal one-on-one contact with each other.
I mean, we say hello to each other at the beginning. If any of you want to come in on the conference line, you're certainly welcome to. I'll give you the phone number. It is 712-432-1600, and the PIN is 368-522. And we have some people checking in. You know, one of the things about the conference line is that we always say hello to everybody at the beginning of the line. And kind of like feel more connected, like just note because they say hello. But what amazes me is that the emails I get from people who I don't know, who I never knew existed, who have been listening to our calls and on the conference line. And, you know, there's people that always don't say hello. And they start listening for a few months, and they have this huge epiphany reaction, or something shifts for them dramatically. So you don't have to be on the line to get the energies. But for many people, grounding it in a hello, how are you, I know when knows me, helps to make and solidify the connection. So Now that I've said all that, we had a couple of people check in. Anyone want to say hello in their city?
That's Chris in Memphis.
Chris?
Hey.
Now, Chris is one of those guys that was had this great transformation online. He's been unemployed all his life. And then when he started coming on the line, he got a job.
Well, we'll have to discuss that in private.
Too late.
I'm sure it's heck not going to tell you who I am.
Welcome to the call, Michael.
Not after that one. Gee.
That's Michael.
Speaking, greetings.
Hi, also Raleigh and Dave from Fallbrook.
Raleigh and Dave. Raleigh, this guy Dave is with you on all your calls. Does that mean you're an item?
Correct. He's living with me now.
That's wonderful.
Yes, Dave, thank you.
Dave, you are a lucky man.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to say hello, their name and their city?
This is Cinda from Phoenix.
Hi, Cinda.
Hi, Wynn.
How's the weather in Phoenix?
Really gorgeous today.
Great. I won't announce you as a celebrity, but we only do that one time. All right. Anyone else want to say hello? Hey, Michael, I thought you weren't going to be on the call today.
Well, I wasn't going to be on for very long. I've got to leave shortly. But I thought I'd get on the line and see how it went for as long as I could stay on.
Oh, good. Okay. I want you guys that are listening to know that all these people, most of us have never met, although I did meet Raleigh and I did meet Michael. Raleigh came to one of our shows in Los Angeles. The amazing thing about this line is the people that keep coming on get to be really friendly with each other. And it kind of becomes a community without a physical place, a telephone community, right? And it's very real. Well, and sometimes we get closer than the people that are in our physical community because there's an energy present here that lifts the vibration. So, well, how do I say this? You know, we'll feel like this is a group that understands, which maybe it is. At least someone here understands. It may not. The understanding comes from, you see, the crazy thing is, the understanding comes from energies in other dimensions. it's a small group on the phone, but a big group in the ethers. Anyone else want to say hello, their name and their city? Okay. Now, of course, it's natural that we'll have a number of people checking in tonight that don't want to say hello, that never showed up before, because the topic is, Terry doesn't even know, I don't think. Oh, maybe she does, because she heard me talking to John. The topic is sex. Do I hear Zeke?
No, that wasn't Zeke.
Somebody
else's cat. Nope.
Yeah. We also have a community of cats on the line that say hello to each other. So in any case, I'm going to mute everybody, and we'll get started because this is a really interesting topic.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
So the topic tonight, the good thing Terry's not answering this because she would be so shy, she would run away. The topic, do you know what the topic is, Terry?
I heard you say earlier,
right.
Yes.
Now, I would suspect when we bring in our sources and ask these questions, we're going to get kind of a preponderance of Ra group energy, since the Elohim, by and large, don't have the experience of this, except vicariously. And we're going to find out if they're really vicarious. I mean, are we ever alone? Or is someone watching? And I don't think these topics have ever been discussed in a public forum, because the topic is sex and orgasms. The last time we tried to have a conversation with the Elohim on this topic, which we did, the topic was, how did sex get started? And we had a long conversation about how they got two amoebas together exchanging energies. And that was the beginning of sex in the physical universe. So we never got to humans. So today we're going to focus on humans, because that is a very serious topic. It's something that all of us have to deal with. Most of us, I would say most of us have to deal with it. And even if we're not dealing with it, on some level we have the urges, and if maybe we're suppressing them, or what does it mean? How does that interrelate to the big picture? Because it is part of the big picture. And how do we balance that part of our human experience? So we're going to call in the light. Calling in the light is another way of invoking the law of one, invoking a group energy, and many people feel the energy on the call. And if you want to feel the energy, you can shut your eyes, take your shoes off, be in a quiet place, don't have the television on in the background, and you may notice a tingling. Some people get goosebumps. Some people feel sensations on the top of their head. Some people get very relaxed. And some people fall asleep, like Chris. Oh, good, he's muted. Okay. But even falling asleep is good, because sometimes, now, this is what I think can happen. When you fall asleep on this line, it allows interdimensional energies to work with you and help lift karmic patterns, help balance energies that would be harder to balance if you were awake. And some of us have to do that. And even I do that sometimes. I mean, there's times when I do these calls, I never said this before, but I find myself kind of like half asleep in between questions, and then waking up, oh, time for the next question. And it's amazing how part of my consciousness is tracking the call, and part of it is spacing out. And I think the reason is that it's a good thing Kerry doesn't do that. We'd really be in trouble. She does it after the calls and sleeps for a long time oftentimes. Because we create a group energy, we're processing the group energy. And sometimes I'm really on top of processing it, and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes if there's a lot of new people, it's an exceptional exercise in processing the energy. And for the last while, I have to give thanks to the people that keep coming into the calls, because they are actually helping to hold the space for processing, which means we can have a lot of new people on these calls, and the energy will sustain. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call, and each person that listens to the replays, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the center of our galaxy, through the planetary fields, through the sun, through the outer energy fields of the earth, through our bodies, and into the earth. And right now, we invoke all of those that would free willingly choose a group energy connection, a blending of energies in other dimensions of us. And we invite, I should say, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And some of you noticed that shift of energy when I invited them to join us. So we are now a huge energy conglomerate. I don't know if conglomerate's the right word. A huge blended energy of all of us, as many of them that they would contribute to work with, and all of you who are listening on the replay lines, who even though you're not here on this call, you're here on the projected futures of this call. So your energies are still here. And do we have a source ready to answer our questions?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We had technical difficulties and we are on the conference line. If it is all a go, we can continue.
Okay. Hopefully I'm still connected to BBS radio. And that we're on the air.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator, and it is our delight and joy to join you this evening on the WIN show. And we are available to answer any of your questions. Do you have questions?
Well, yeah, the topic tonight is The Mystery of the Orgasm, which I think was a book by Wilhelm Reich years ago. And we started out a number of shows ago talking about how the Elohim, the first instance of sex, when I think they were moving two amoebas next to each other and managed to get them to exchange energy. Can we have like a quick look at how we went from amoebas changing energies to all the rituals we have today regarding sexual interchange?
We, in our energy forms, worked with the developing small forms, and over millions of years were able to see how they would develop, and we would make energy models of what would be a delightful form of human that would be able to survive on the planets. And the form was much the same from planet to planet. And then the question, how to procreate the rhythm and or complex models made of how chemical reaction could lead to a reaction and how to transform the chemical reactions into one of the complex there were many years of trial and error and many false starts. And when we would get a model that worked fairly well, then we fight a few false starts that ended up badly and race new for would not work. And then we went back to the drawing board. The procreation of the races was worked out in theory before put into effect.
Now, were Elohim souls coming down and occupying those bodies, those original bodies, or at some point? I know that according to history and according to some of our previous conversations, there was a group, they're sometimes called fallen Elohim. I don't know if that's the right term, but the Anunnaki that engineered humans, but they were already in bodies, but they must have had the advanced bodies. So as you were engineering bodies, were the souls new souls, or was the Elohim occupying them?
We would send souls down from our group to bravely experiment and to occupy a body and then come back and report what the feelings and sensations were and see if the body could operate independently. And we would leave and see how the race would fare. It fared better when there was a Elohim soul that occupied the body than when it was on remote.
Were the Elohim souls that occupied these first bodies able to maintain communication with the celestial Elohim very clearly at that time?
Yes, they were, as they were not duplicating and messed up by the lower dimensions. They were pure, and as such, had their mission to go occupy the body, check it out, and see if it was viable from the hands-on standpoint, and then move back into the higher realms to their unit of design and to report.
Mm-hmm. Now, eventually, so that they couldn't come back from the bodies. And in Edgar Cayce, it was said that that was due to sex, that they got sexually involved with some of the local creatures.
Come closer to the mic, please.
Don't what?
Come closer to the mic.
Okay. Mic, because you are barely understandable.
Okay. Is this better?
A little.
Okay. All right. Did you understand that question? Was it sex?
No.
Was it sex with the local creatures that caused the Elohim souls, the pure Elohim souls, to get stuck in this realm and forget, take on the veil of forgetfulness?
The ones checking out the functionality of the beings, the human beings, had strict orders that they were to follow. Some of them got addicted to sex and did not want to return. And eventually they would get disconnected from the realm.
Was it sex with each other that they were getting addicted with? Or sex with the lower creatures in the realm?
You are breaking.
Okay, just a moment. Hang on.
Is this better? Okay, the question is, was it sex with the lower creatures in the realm that disconnected them, or sex with each other?
Was it sex with the something that disconnected them? Was it,
was it sex with the lower creatures in the realm, or sex with the other Elohim beings in the realm that caused them to get disconnected?
It was sex with the humans in the human realms that causes them to get disconnected.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere in the Bible it says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. And does that relate to that situation?
The sons of God mated with who?
The daughters of man.
It is one time of having sex. That is the problem. It is many times of having sex. And if it is done wisely, it will not trap one in the third dimensional realm.
Okay. Well, now we here are all humans, and we're all dealing with our sexualities, the lack of it, too much of it, obsession with it. Obviously, every human is unique, and that they're going to have a unique way of dealing with their sexuality. But in general, there's some people who are spiritual talk about that it's good not to have sex. What's the word for that? I forget. To be celibate. And that when you celibate, you have a better connection with spirituality and higher forces. Then on the other hand, there are people that, and we've even had this come up in our channelings, that if one doesn't have sex, they could lose their ability to ground in the lower chakras. So could you comment about that? Hello?
You
okay.
Are cutting out, but we got most of the question. When one does not hang on to a situation and moves through it and stays in the now, then one can use sex as a tool for growth and connection and procreation. And it can be a marvelous tool. The dangers are that one would get addicted to the situation and become unfacile or inflexible about moving in and out of situations, and that when they would move from one lifetime to the next, they may be hanging on to some fantasy. When sex is misjoined with distorted experiences, this can catapult one out of the upper rooms and keep them in the lower rooms and provide a path to be lost, for them to lose their way.
I would imagine that there would be two factors that would be potentials for causing one to lose their way. One is to have sex with without the heart chakra open, without the other upper chakras open, and so the experience is focused in just the lower chakras, in which case it pulls people into the lower chakras without the and disconnects them from the higher chakras. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about if someone is opening up their higher chakras, then it becomes a union of energy between two people that is very profound and transformative.
Yes, it can be a sacred experience of joining.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about if one is just doing it by self-service? What are the implications of that?
Well, this can relax the body and can take the tension off, and so it could be a benefit.
Mm-hmm. And when people are having, let's say, good sex, sex where their higher chakras are opening, do interdimensional forces participate, I've understood that negative entities can actually enter into someone's space when their energies are open. Could we have a little more understanding of that?
Sometimes that every now and then an individual, when they have a new partner and they need to take care in choosing their partner wisely, is this is a really open giving and taking. And if they would choose perhaps the wrong partner, there could be a subtle action wherein the entities of one person can move over the second person and attempt to fasten down the relationship, to orient them and make them love the second person. And so entities could enter in that way. So if the person is totally cognizant and aware and open to someone that is of similar character, then the individual can still recognize if another negative entity would come in. At times, an entity may come into the union to attempt to become a part of a body of a baby, and then this would be a good thing. The union was seeking to procreate, and the entity coming in was pure, which it should be if the two individuals having the procreation sex are pure.
Well, depending on the quality of the procreation, will that make a difference on the quality of the entity, the baby that can come in? In other words, if two people are having kind of low, what we'll call low-level sex, and if they have a baby, will they tend to get a baby of a lower realm as opposed to people that are having high-level sex?
Yes, but the quality of the sexual encounter and the quality of the people would attract a similar quality of child who was attempting to come in to be a baby and a child, wherein that child could experience the type of growth that the baby needed.
Thank you. Many religious groups are proponents, spiritual religious, are proponents of celibacy, giving up sex and joining a monastery, becoming a nun or a sister or a monk. Is there a benefit in doing that, or is that just something that has to happen in order to create those kinds of communities of people?
There can be a benefit. It depends upon the training and the structure. If the training is towards the development of the higher chakras and towards the development of the connection of the individual, the areas of crown chakra, the connecting with the higher forces, it can be a benefit to individual, as the energy that would normally go into the foundational chakra and into the home and family and the desires for procreation would then in the higher chakras and allow them to develop more. There are many sects that, however, if an individual is more normal bent and part of a group of the priesthood but is yearning after sexual experience, this damaging to both him and to people that he comes in contact with, particularly if he is seeking in secretive ways to fill his yearning.
So this is what happened to some of the priests in the Catholic Church over the past few years that came to light.
Yes.
So, in fact, those people were denying their sexuality, but they really were not able to deny it. It was still latent as an obsession in it to be expressed.
know, there's things that connect with sexuality that many people connect with it. One of the things is possession of another being. And on the other hand, the dolphins, as I understand, have no possessiveness. They travel in herds, or herds is not the right name, but pods, and that they openly have sexual connection with each other, and they all know about what everyone is doing. And dolphins are very evolved, we hear. So could you explain the ramifications of possessiveness and that kind of open interaction that dolphins have?
The whole grouping and social context of the dolphins is different than that of humans, as they work in a pod and the children can be raised by all of the adults. In the human, the grouping is to be in families, in pairs, and to raise the children within that family group. Question of possessiveness. The dolphins have a greater understanding of the love between the all that is and their individual self, and they are not isolated in their connection to the human body. The dolphins have the ability to get information from their surroundings, from the centers of their brain, to communicate with each other in a broader way and to move interdimensionally. The humans are more isolated in that respect, and it makes it harder to share, and there is a greater research for the word distillation of desire within the human psyche, which brings a person's attention in closer. And the dolphin's attention is more diffuse, and they have more give and take with the outside of their surroundings. The humans, due to the construction of the body, are more localized, and as such, the relationships are more comfortable to them in the majority of cases when they are so localized with a husband and a wife and a family.
Thank you. I think that a really good question here would be two questions, and it's like, how do we go from where we are to where we want to be? And there's two circumstances. One is someone's in a relationship. They're committed to the relationship. Maybe they even have children, but they've lost the intimacy. They've lost the exchange. Their sexuality is not balancing them in the way perhaps it did when they were first starting. How does a couple bring back those feelings of that connection when they've lost it and they're so committed to each other?
This would be a question for the RAW group, and give us a moment. much as you have a refresh button on the computer, then one can reset and can let go of all the extraneous things that have happened that may clog up the relationship memories that one reacted negatively in what happened, and they can seek to let that go and to reset. And if both partners can reset and work with each other to attempt to get rid of the baggage and luggage that they are carrying and the memories that were hard and let them go, and then do something nice for each other, give each other some flowers or treat them to a play, something that they like. If you have the cooperation of both partners, then you can make some progress in this way.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that sometimes happens in a really deteriorating relationship is people, one partner wants to create a successful intimacy and the other doesn't. But they're possessive and they won't let that person see anyone else. How does someone deal with this?
Give us a moment. One can experiment with the different means or methods available to pamper oneself and to treat oneself very, very good, and to talk with the partner and seek to understand the partner's desired habits and what the thoughts are within the pattern of the person that the person does not want to move forward in the sexual experience at the same frequency. Often times when one can talk about it, one can learn more about what the partner is desiring. Also, a partner may have things going on that they don't wish to move into a sexual experience right then, and maybe it is just that they are in the middle of something they wish to finish, or maybe it is something that they are wired at the time and they can relax later. Maybe a turndown is just a temporary thing. Maybe the person can be wooed with flowers and sweet talk to get them into the mood, partner on that. Or maybe one can massage the partner and bring the partner into a mood that they would like to move into a sexual encounter.
Can't hear you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Sorry.
One of the things I've noticed is that sometimes when people are not having sexual expression, they tend to get withdrawn and they don't seem attractive. And then it's hard for them to make the connection to get things started. And that could be for a person that's alone, that's living alone. They tend to have an aura of aloneness and keep away. Underneath, they don't really feel that way, but it's in their space. How can a person move through that so that they don't put that energy out, so that they can attract the experience that they want?
They can take on an activity that brings them out of it, to remember back and what activities enliven them and make them laugh, telling jokes to them and telling jokes to oneself, reading jokes until they can break that mood, and putting themselves in an environment where they can break that mood, getting a massage from a masseuse, something that can help with their body reactions, taking a bath in a jacuzzi, something to move them, move their energy, and move their energy out so they can begin to project outward.
Thank you. I would think that, you know, one of the topics we talk about very often is graduation of this realm, and that it's important for a person to get their energies open and loose and loving, and if they've avoided dealing with their sexuality, it could impact their ability to express love and keep an open heart in general. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, a really good connection could help propel someone towards that 51% heart opening for graduation.
Yes. There are other things one can do to open the heart. However, to be in a situation with other people will give and take, where they can feel love, to have a close animal that they can have a good friendship with. These all can also
help. So if a person does not have a good intimate relationship, they can find a way to get their heart open. And the important thing is to move from that place where they feel closed in and oppressed into some kind of activity where their energy flows with other people. That's like a first step.
Yes, that is. Also, when an individual is depressed, they can also, the factors that they see at the time may specifically be making their depression deeper, and see what makes their depression lighter, and see if there are any specific issues in their life that are weighing down on them. Like an individual in one's surroundings that is abusive, that could, the circumstances could be changed.
When people are having really loving, beautiful sex, do you guys ever join with the energies?
I cannot hear you.
When people are having beautiful, loving sex, do you guys ever feel the energies of that in your realm?
Yes, we can. Not only we, but other people also can. Individuals who are discarnate that may be looking for a body also can.
So there's not a lot of privacy.
Not in the sense that you would term privacy.
Right. Okay. Well, I think I've covered the topics that I had planned. Maybe if anyone out there wants to ask a question, and only questions on this topic, is that okay with you if we let a couple questions come through?
All right.
Okay. If you want to unmute yourself, *6, and ask a question, we'll take it. All right. Going once.
Hi, this is Raleigh, and I would like if a couple should be married, if that makes a difference, or, you know, in having sex relationships, how loving or powerful it is.
That's a very good question. Of course, we know instances of married couples that have terrible sexual relationships and some that have great. Could our sources explain the value of a marriage commitment in relationship to sex?
Sometimes people wait and have sex after they are married. It is an extra added commitment to the marriage, and it sets the sexual experience aside as more sacred, and it can be a greater bond with an individual who has sex before marriage. Then it can be also a great experience that can lead into commitment. It depends upon the attitude and the upbringing and on the diligence and intention of the two people to create a good relationship.
Thank you. I would like to ask the question. I would assume, but I would like to hear you say it, that the answers that we're giving here are true for both heterosexual and same-sex sexual interchanges. Could you say that's true?
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Raleigh. Anyone else have a question?
I have another question, if that's okay. Do they have any suggestions on how to start a sexual act? Is there something that will make it more sacred?
Thank you. Before starting a sexual act, one can communicate with the partner. One can do it slowly so that the body is prepared. As if things move too fast, then the body and its preparation can lag behind, and then it won't be as great an experience. The body responds, and one needs to keep pace with how the body is responding and observe one's partner to make sure that the act is in sync. One is not rushing ahead or creating pain for the before the act when one has something to eat or to drink, it can help prepare the body for sex as it gets the fluids in the body flowing. Although to not eat too much, that it would make the people drowsy, but something stimulating before the sexual act to set the scene for the act. This will all help the body move into prepare for the act, like beautiful music that they both like, or say wine that they both like, some drink that they both like, and clean sheets and a clean, organized space would all help. Those are our comments.
Thank you. You know, I think we'll close with one final question. We're going a little over because there was space on BBS to do that. And that is, could you explain a little bit about the differences in natures of men and women so that the men on the line would help understand women better and the women might understand men better?
A similarity. One of them is for the women that the men understand, the woman's body will get ready and begin to secrete a substance that can help make the body more ready and help with the penetration of the man. If the woman is not made ready, then the joy, the sense of joy will be lessened. It can create pain and antagonism following by the woman. If a man can learn to sense the tides and rhythms of the female body, the response, see how it is responding, then they will be able to move into a satisfaction of the partner. And then the partner will naturally unfold beauty for the man. For the woman that is working to have sex, moving to have sex, the man, then there are sensitive areas that she can work with, and she can find these areas by manipulation and seeing what arouses the man more and what will bring the man to the sexual orgasm, as sometimes the stroking of the balls can help elicit the orgasm. The same with the man, as he can explore and see which areas are very sensitive and responsive in the woman, and an area that may be responsive later may not be responsive at the start if one is moving too fast.
Thank you very much. We'll bring this show to a close. I thank everyone. I thank Terry so much for being here and being available to answer these questions, and all of you for holding the energy, and all of you on the replay lines. And we'll see you again Wednesday when you submit questions@messageday.net, and we'll be asking them on our Wednesday call. We'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muted. Unmuted. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted. To stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.